Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Today is Monday, May the 18th, and I'm so glad to have you with me on the program, and I really hope you can stick around for the entire 30 minutes. Hope you had a good weekend. Now, today, I was wondering what I should talk about, and over the weekend, it came to me that I really haven't, over the past few weeks, I guess, gone into the Blessed Mother. Now, this is the month that is dedicated to Mary. May is her month. And talk about the powerful intercession of Mary. So we're going to do that today. We're going to look at the wedding at Cana from John's Gospel, chapter 2 of John's Gospel, and talk about how Mary can intercede for us, how she can help us out. Now, if you're not Catholic, I want to say this is going to be a great opportunity for you, and I hope you will be able to stick around, to understand what we as Catholics believe about the Blessed Mother. There are many misconceptions out there, and I really hope that I can clear some of them up. If you are Catholic, maybe you love the Blessed Mother, maybe you don't have a great devotion to Mary. Well, that's great, because we're going to talk to that today on the program, and I really think it will be beneficial. If we look at the Bible, specifically this incident that took place at a wedding in Cana, and look at John's recording of that event, it's very clear that the intercession of the Blessed Mother is something that is willed by God, right? So we're going to talk about that. So I hope you can, hope you're able to settle in, and so that we can really address that, especially since this is contained in Scripture. But anyway, I hope your weekend was good. I hope you're doing okay. Hope you're surviving the continued isolation and this quarantine business. It gets tough, doesn't it? Day after day, it gets really tough. But with God, all things are possible. He can help us. And hopefully, I'm going to be able to give you some hope as you go forward as well. My biggest piece of advice for you is continue to talk to Jesus with what you need. Go to Him, talk to Him, tell Him you're in trouble, tell Him you're struggling, tell Him your concerns, your fears, and let Him help you. Don't try to do this on your own. That's a big mistake that sometimes people like me make, you know, people who tend to be a little over-controlling and problem solvers. We tend to do all these things on our own, and we forget to ask the Lord for help. Please ask Him for help. He wants you to help Him. And one of the reasons that you're experiencing anxiety in your life is probably because you're not turning to Him for help. That's a very big cause of it. And you're trying to do everything on your own. That's going to burn you out in a hurry. So let me put my money where my mouth is for a minute. Let's pray. Let's turn to our Lord Jesus Christ now and speak to Him at the beginning of this program. I'm going to ask for the help that I need to be able to deliver His message. And I invite you to pray with me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus Christ, You are our Lord and our Savior. We realize that You are present with us right now, even though we may not be able to see You with our eyes. Lord, we know You are with us. We know You walk before us every day. As Christians, we are called to follow You. We are Your followers. So therefore, You lead us. And that means that sometimes we're going to go to a place or down a road that we would rather not go. And I think I can speak for all of the world when I say this coronavirus pandemic is one of those places. This is tough, Lord. You know it. But we also know that all things work for good for those who love You. Romans 8:28 tells us that, Lord, we know of Your invitation to come to You if we're weary and burdened, and You will give us rest. Well, again, speaking for just about the entire world, we are weary, we are burdened, we need that rest. So we come to You now. We come to You in prayer, and we ask You, Lord Jesus, to help us. We ask You in Your almighty power to cure the coronavirus, just get rid of it completely, to wipe it off the face of the earth, and also to heal those who are affected by it in any way, not just physically, but those who are affected emotionally or spiritually or financially. We pray for their complete healing, Jesus, in Your name. And we thank You for hearing this prayer and answering it. Now, we're aware that the answer could be not yet. We're aware that the answer could be I'm not going to wipe it off the face of the earth. We're open to everything. Because, Jesus, You are all-powerful. We are not. We call You Lord for a reason. You're the boss. So we pray for the grace to be able to trust you more. We know that you love us. We know that you care for us. We know that you have performed numerous miracles. In fact, we're going to look at one of them later on in the program today. But we pray for an increased faith, Lord, so we can trust you more, so that we can feel that confidence in you that you want us to have. We lift up all of our individual needs, whatever they are, Jesus, you know them. Please grant us what we need this day, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for watching over us, for shepherding us, for leading us, for introducing to us to your Father, and for sending us your Holy Spirit. Jesus, I ask you to give me a special outpouring of the Spirit on this program today so I can deliver your message and not my own message. And please open all of our hearts and our minds to be receptive to your message. In your mighty name I pray, Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you for praying with me. You know, it's very easy to get overwhelmed sometimes, especially when problems start to arise in our lives. It's easy to get overwhelmed and panic. I don't want you to panic. But remember, we talked about this last week on the show. If you didn't listen, you can go back and listen to the podcast. We talked about these various storms at sea that the disciples had to go through. In each case, they panicked. But they still came out of their panic enough to turn to Jesus and ask him for help. And that's the message I have for you today. Ask for help. It all goes back to Jesus. You know, Jesus was said here by the Father because he loved us and he wanted to reconcile us with him. That's why Jesus was here. So he is here to help us. And that's just not spiritually. If you got material issues as well, money problems, health issues, relationship problems, if you need some kind of a favor in your life, whatever it is, turn to Jesus. He's not going to turn you away. I can't guarantee how he'll answer, but I know he won't turn you away. And I'll be honest, I've been struggling with some things lately. I'm overwhelmed with work that I have to get done. I've got writing deadlines. I've got my family that I have to keep intact during this quarantine. It's not easy. I've been feeling weary. But I know that the Lord is my strength. He's my rock. He's my Savior. And he's going to get me and my family through this. He's going to get you through it too. So I want you to know that I am praying for you. I pray for you every day. Please hang in there and pray for me because I could use it too. All right, together we can get through this. We walk together. That's what I love about this show. You and me, we're walking together. That doesn't mean we're not going to stumble. But when we stumble, we pick one another up. Your emails, your prayers, your donations, you sustain me. You really do. You have no idea how important you are to me. And hopefully I can do the same for you. And hopefully we don't have bad days or bad days don't happen at the same time. You know, you're going to have good and bad. You're going to have the peaks and valleys. That's part of the spiritual life. There's going to be problems in life. But storms exist for a reason. Storms exist, well, first of all, because we live in a fallen human world. We live in a fallen world. This world is not paradise. Secondly, the Lord uses storms to bring us closer to him. Because when we're in a storm, he really gets our attention. Now, we're going to look at a story today where there was a problem. This was a material problem. There was no more wine at a wedding celebration, which was a big deal. And Jesus came through. But I want you to see today on the show that Mary played a critical role in Jesus coming through. So without further ado, let's look at the wedding at Cana. This is John chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. This is a great story, and I'm sure you know it. This is the story of the very first public miracle performed by Jesus. John called them signs because miracles weren't done to show off. Jesus didn't use these miracles just to show that he had power. He used them to convince people that he was God's son, that he was divine, that he had miraculous powers. And that's what attracted people initially to Jesus. It wasn't just words. It was words combined with miracles. But I want you to remember something else. Jesus still performs miracles today. That's a mistake that a mistaken way of thinking that we sometimes fall into is that the age of miracles is over. No, it's not. I've seen them. And I bet you have too. A lot of times the miracles are what I would call minor miracles. We might not recognize them. But we've all seen those things that just don't seem possible come true. And that shows us that with God, all things are possible. So this begins in John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Now, this kind of this sets up the story. There's a wedding at Cana in Galilee. And Jesus' mother was there. I like the way John starts this. This is in John chapter 2, verse 1. The mother of Jesus was there. So this is the first detail he tells us. So we don't know anything else about this story, except there's a wedding at Cana in Galilee, right? There's a wedding. We don't know the name of the bride and the groom. We don't know anything. We know there's a wedding there, and we know that the mother of Jesus was there. And then John adds, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. Interesting, isn't it? The order of the guest list. Who appears first? The Blessed Mother. The mother of Jesus was at the wedding. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited. So, obviously, this is done for a reason. John doesn't do things for no reason. He is trying to call our attention to the fact that the Blessed Mother is present at the wedding. Why? Because she's going to play a really important role. And we'll talk about this, why it is that Mary got to do what she did. We'll look at what she did and why it is. What possible reason could Jesus have for letting his mother be responsible for initiating his first miracle? That's an important lesson, and one that is absolutely rooted in Scripture. So now we know Jesus and his mother and the disciples are at the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." I love this. I mean, you talk about subtle. They have no more wine. Now, she didn't tell him what to do. I think this tells you something about Mary. We all know what it's like to care for someone. And especially mothers. Mothers really like to fix problems, don't they? So if Mary sees that there is a problem, her motherly instincts are going to kick in, and she's going to try to fix the problem. It was a big deal. These wedding celebrations in the time of our Lord could possibly go on for a week or two. I mean, this was a big deal. And for the wine to run out, it could have really messed up the entire wedding reception. And Mary went to Jesus, not telling him how to fix the problem, not insisting that he fix the problem, not even demanding anything, nothing, just a simple fact. They have no more wine. Now, did Jesus know this? Well, I can't say for sure, but there's a good chance because he is all-knowing. Now, remember, he lowered himself when he took on human flesh, and it's possible he was not aware. He made himself unaware of certain things. It's possible. I'm not saying for sure that he did or he didn't know. In all likelihood, he knew that the wine had run out, and Mary didn't need to tell him this. Now, the response of Jesus is very interesting in verse 4. "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." There's many different interpretations of this of this dialogue here between Jesus and the Blessed Mother. But no matter what version you look at, the fact of the matter is there is some sort of a divergence of opinion. Jesus is sort of resisting, and not in a bad way, but he appears to be resisting what his mother is saying. She tells him there's no more wine. Obviously, he knows what she's saying. Now, even though she just said there's no more wine, obviously she's implying. You know how mothers, right? If you're a mother, you get this. She's implying, son, you need to fix this problem because there's no more wine. And Jesus said, woman, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come. There are many different schools of thought about why he used the word woman. Number one, because it sounds cold, doesn't it? But remember, this is a translation. This took place 2,000 years ago. To us nowadays, in the year 2020, this seems cold. But some are of the opinion that this was a reference to the first woman, Eve, who disobeyed God. And she's undoing the disobedience of the first Eve, the new woman, the Blessed Mother, by her obedience, is undoing the damage of the disobedience of the first woman. And that's one reason that Jesus could have used the term woman. The other reason, it's a title of honor, referring her to her in a very formal way by using that word woman. Why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come. And he's right. His hour has not yet come. He had not performed his first public miracle yet. And he's stating a fact. Why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come. And look, let's face it, you got to be really there to understand his tone, the look on his face. We don't have access to that information. It sounds cold, but now we need to look at how the story plays out. It's going to give us some more insight. At that point, and this really gives us an idea of how Mary took it. We might look at this dialogue and say, wow, Jesus really put Mary in her place. But listen to what Mary did in verse 5. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Now remember, this was a dialogue between Jesus and his mother. The servants weren't necessarily there. They were off to the side probably. Mary expected Jesus to fix this problem. We read this and we might not expect it, but Mary expected Jesus to come through. And his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. She didn't know what he was going to do, but she knew that somehow he would fix this problem. The servants were the ones who would serve the wine. So obviously, they were the people who would be responsible for delivering the wine once Jesus produced the wine. Now, nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. So these were big jars. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Now, let me make a couple of points about this. These words of the Blessed Mother, do whatever he tells you to the servants, these were her last recorded words in the Bible. After this, no more recorded words of the Blessed Mother. Why is that? Well, let's look at it this way. If she instructed these servants to do whatever Jesus tells you, what else did she possibly have to say in the Bible? That's the instruction that you and me need to remember more than anything else in this life. How am I going to get to heaven? How am I going to fulfill my purpose in life? Why am I here? I'm here to love God and love others and make it to heaven. To love God, to know, love, and serve God in this life, and to be happy with Him forever in the next, according to the old Baltimore Catechism. Do whatever He tells you. That sums it up right there. Those directions are the way that we will make it to heaven, by following Jesus, by doing whatever he tells us. Now look at what the servants did. They didn't fight back. Do whatever he tells you. Jesus told them to fill the jars with water, so they filled them to the brim. Not only did they listen to Jesus, but they filled the jars to the brim with water. Now, they might not have had any clue what he was doing. He didn't explain why he was doing it, but they obeyed. And I think there's a lesson for each of us there. The first lesson is Mary instructs us through this inspired word, the inspired words in sacred scripture, to do whatever Jesus tells us. Now we have an example of some servants who do just that. Jesus said, fill up the jars with water. And again, no explanation. For many of us, we're waiting for the explanation all the time, aren't we? Oh, come on, Jesus, you got to give me the reason. I don't know why this is happening in my life. Well, are you obeying? Boy, that's challenging. I know. Tell me about it. It's really challenging. Do whatever he tells you. They filled them to the brim. Now he's got more instructions. Verse 8, then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. And they did so. Isn't that incredible? So these guys, the servants, they go to the banquet master and they're about to take him what appears to be water. And they run the risk of him saying, are you kidding me? This isn't wine, this is water. But they do it. They listen to Jesus. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. And he didn't realize where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside, and he said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best until now. What's interesting is that we have no record that the bride and groom had any idea that there was a problem. We really have no idea if anybody knew there was a problem except Mary. But Mary went to Jesus, informed him of the problem. Jesus appeared to put her in her place, to push her aside. But that's not what it all that's not at all what happened, especially when you look at Mary's response, because she expected the Lord to come through, to fix the problem. And he turned the water into wine. He performed his first miracle. And we're told in verse 11, what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of his signs, of the signs through which he revealed his glory. Remember what I said? This is not a magic show. This is not Jesus just showing off. He is revealing his glory. He's showing who he is. He's showing that he has power. And what happened? And his disciples believed in him. Interesting. The disciples, the people who were following him, we're not even talking about the non-believers. We're talking about the disciples needed miracles to believe in Jesus. That should make you feel better. It makes me feel better because I like miracles. Sometimes I need a miracle in my life. That's how our faith grows. How do you get a miracle? Well, for the most part, you have to ask for one. So if you've got a major problem in your life, if you're struggling right now, for any reason, if you've got a major hurdle, and we all have one right now, now is the time to beg Jesus for a miracle. However, remember, this talk is about the Blessed Mother. We're talking about the Blessed Mother here. So I invite you to look at this story. Yeah, Jesus fixed the problem. But who approached Jesus to inform him that the wine had run out? Mary. And what did Jesus do? He performed his first miracle. He almost appears to have changed his mind, right? It's pretty incredible, isn't it? Why would God have allowed this to play out this way? I think it's apparent. For this to happen, for the first miracle of Jesus to take place at the request of his Blessed Mother, I think it's pretty obvious that it's encouraging us to turn to Mary for intercession. And even if we don't do it, even if we don't specifically go to the Blessed Mother, know by this story that she's walking around looking at the problems in our lives. And when she sees one, she brings it to Jesus. But I think this is a powerful example of what we as Catholics believe when it comes to Mary's intercession. This is all biblically based. Mary didn't perform the miracle. Mary didn't even go out to buy more wine. All she did was intercede on behalf of the bride and the groom to Jesus. And Jesus honored her request and produced wine out of water. So I would encourage you today, based on this, you know, read this over. This is John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 all the way through verse 11. Read it over and ask the Holy Spirit to lead your thoughts. And if you haven't ever turned to the Blessed Mother and asked her for help, it's not taking anything away from Jesus, because she's going to go to Jesus. Ask her to intercede for you. Ask her to watch over you. Listen to her advice when she says, do whatever he tells you. Everything Mary does always leads back to Jesus. She's not trying to steal the spotlight. But I encourage you to ask, especially in this month of May, dedicated to Mary. Make sure you turn to her. And you can also talk to Jesus, talk to the Father, talk to the Holy Spirit, talk to your favorite saint. That's all good. You don't have to talk to one person exclusively. But make sure you, if you're not used to doing it, turn to Mary and ask for her help. And finally, if you have a problem with Mary, if you really need some help understanding her, maybe you don't appreciate her enough, ask Jesus to help you understand and love his mother more. Because that worked for me many years ago when I tried it. So why don't you try that? And again, check it out, John chapter 2, the story of the wedding at Cana. I am completely out of time. Thank you for listening to Following the Truth. If you have any questions, email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I got to run. God willing, I plan to be back with you here tomorrow on Tuesday. I hope you have a wonderful night. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next time.